Get your keister down to Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Check out BillCurryFord.com for all the deals. They got a tremendous showroom. They will take good care of you with their concierge service. And the biggest point of all, the deals are outstanding, and the best value, it's all about value, and the best value you can get is right now, Bill Curry Ford.
We love Pin Chasers on the Ira Kaufman podcast. That is your place to go bowling in the Tampa Bay area. But not just bowling, great food, great fun, and great specials every single day. Every day there's a great special. Go to pinchasers.net to see them all and reserve a lane. Thursday night bowling, you could take advantage of that this week. It's the day after New Year's. Drink specials, unlimited bowling on a Thursday night. The bowling is just $10.99 for all you can bowl starting at 9 p.m. And you can have $1 Miller Lights while you bowl as well. Shoes are always free at Pin Chasers. And again, check out all their daily specials, including the Sunday Breakfast Bowl for just $9. That includes breakfast. Pinchasers.net. We'll see you there soon.
Hey, people. I'm sitting here with Shannon Brooks of Big Storm Brewery. I'm looking at this menu. It's unbelievable. The tap list. Now they got the food menu. I'm going to sample the burgers today. I hear they're fantastic. We got a nice crowd here. It's early dinner time. And I'm going to get to know this place very well because we got some big announcements for next year. Shannon, thanks for welcoming me.
We really appreciate you coming on out here and talking with us. And we really look forward to a fantastic 2020 with Joe Bucks Fan and doing all the great things that you guys are doing.
49th Street, just south of Almerton, right?
Just south of Almerton. This is our main location right here. We are open for lunch and we are open for dinner. We have multiple taproom locations throughout Florida, but this is our main location. We brew all of our beer and distribution here. As you mentioned, we do have fantastic burgers. And we are anticipating our brand new kitchen to be completed by the end of January.
East side of 49th Street, correct?
East side of 49th Street, you got it.
And you are a Buck fan, correct?
I play one on TV.
Shannon, a lot of competition in this field with the craft beers, but I don't know, something about Big Storm Brewery, you got something special going on here.
We have a lot of pride in our liquid. We take tremendous strides in making sure that we have fresh beer. We're using whole natural ingredients, no artificial flavors, no flavorings. Our head brewer does a fantastic job. Our brewing staff does a phenomenal job. We have a lot of pride in what we present to the public, and we like to share it with as many people as we possibly can.
I'm looking behind you here, Shannon. It looks like a scene out of a movie. I mean, you got the beer tanks and everything. That is quite an ensemble behind you.
We're blessed to have a lot of success here at this location. It's allowed us to invest in our property. It's allowed us to invest in having great people. At our end of the year holiday party, which was an incredible time for all of us. So
I must have missed that invitation over there, Sean.
You might. You're always welcome to come share beer with us.
Thank
here
you,
at Big Storm.
Friend. Look, I'm impressed right off the bat. I just opened the menu. I'm on the tap list menu. The first thing I see, updated December 21st.
We are constantly brewing new beers. So we have our core beers that we have out in the market, but we are brewing new specialties every single day. We always have something fresh and new on tap. So if you're a fan of an IPA, if you're a fan of sours, if you're a fan of brown ales or whatever it is that you enjoy, we have something here for you.
Talk about how this whole industry has boomed in the last decade.
I think what happened is that you have your everyday consumer just wanted more taste. You know, I think that for so long that your ability to buy and consume beer other than, you know, the large
used to have
macro.
Three or four choices.
Yeah, I mean you had the big dogs, you know, they were the only three that you could find at the grocery store. And I think people were yearning for something different. And you know, you have a lot of the original craft brewers, especially out there in California, were putting together some great beers. It just spawned a whole new world. And you know, people's taste buds started popping and going crazy. And I think people are craving for it. We're very lucky to be part of the boom.
Rumor has it, you've delved into the high school coaching field a little bit from a coaching standpoint. So I want you to put your coach's hat on and give me a little 5-year evaluation of Mr. Jameis Winston, my friend.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I did coach high school football for almost 20 years.
Wow.
I was a head football coach at multiple schools here in the county, Dixie Hollins High School, Canterbury, St. Petersburg Catholic. I've coached at Lakewood, coached at Pinellas Park. So I've made the run around. So I've had my share of whistles around my neck.
You ever coach a kid like Jameis Winston in terms of ups and downs?
Well, you know, I mean, I coached an incredible quarterback at Dixie Hollins by the name of Tyree Adams, who's just graduating right now from Western Carolina University. And I would say that Tyree does not throw as many interceptions as Jameis.
What about his excitement level?
Yes.
His palpitation level.
Yeah, so, I mean, Tyree was a fantastic kid, and, you know, I'm not trying to compare him and Jameis, but, I mean, I think that Jameis is exciting in as much excitement he brings to the football field and as much excitement as he brings to the offense. I know that he probably has some throws he'd like to take back, or more than one each game. Probably.
How excited were you to hear that Bruce Arians was coming to Tampa?
This town needs a highly qualified, stable coach. I think that they've missed that over the last few years. You know, they've had, you know, some in and out going on over at One Buck Place. We're big fans of the Bucks here at Tampa, you know, at Big Storm Brewing. You know, we have a suite over there, and we support the Bucks, and, you know, we're there quite a bit. And I think that each decision that they make along the way is in the interest of the team and of the community.
You think they're going in the right direction as we speak here today?
I do. There's a lot of young talent on that team. A lot of young talent. I think that once, you know, the coach and the coaching staff can kind of just, you know, corral the mistakes and eliminate some of those things, I think they'll have a fantastic team.
Talk a little bit, Shannon, about how Buck fans have really struggled and what they've been through in the last decade. And they stick with this team. They're good fans.
Yeah, good fans. You know, I remember going back to, you know, the big sombrero and, you know, wearing the creamsicle hats and T-shirts. And you
baking
know,
and, under that sun,
yeah,
right?
You know, in the bleachers and everything. You know, you had to get up every once in a while because your butt was kind of, you know, frying on the seats. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's a great group of fans. I mean, we're part of the community, too, in Big Storm. And, you know, we're in that fan base. And, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, we're very loyal to the team and loyal to the community, much like the Bucks are. And I really think their future is very bright.
So, Ira, the big announcement we wanted to make and share it right now, and speaking of that loyalty to the fans from Big Storm is going to have you for every Buccaneers road game next season at Big Storm Brewery here in Clearwater or at the Odessa location. Obviously, we don't have the schedule yet, but how exciting is this, Shannon? And Ira draws a crowd, and most of them like to drink because the Bucs, they force us to drink.
Well, listen, I'm a huge football fan. As you mentioned, I coached for a long time. I'm a huge football fan. I just love the excitement that the game brings to a community, to an environment, to a fan base. Being involved in the community and doing all those things, we're right along with them. So, yeah, so for us to join with you guys, I mean, we're super excited as well. We're looking forward to all the football fans coming to Big Storm Brewing and sharing a beer with us and sharing some time with you guys and having a fantastic year.
This looks like a great locale for next fall.
Looks like it is.
My only advice to Shannon, if things go the way I think they're going to happen, he's going to have to bring in more tables and chairs, and that's a good thing. Shannon, we're going to start this up next August. I assume the Bucks are not going to start with four straight home games, so we're going to get together in September. I'm going to be here a lot before then, but from what I've seen of this place right now, your bartenders look strong. The beers are flowing. Not a bad crowd, my man. And tell me about the lunch crowd. I hear it's very good.
We have a tremendous lunch crowd here. We're getting ready to open our new kitchen, as I mentioned, in January. Monday through Friday, we have a huge corporate lunch crowd that comes in. Saturdays and Sundays are full of football fans watching college football and the NFL games. We have plenty of food to satisfy your hunger. Plenty of beer to flow, so we're looking forward to, you know, sharing many beers with you guys in 2020. If I'm not mistaken, you guys are going to be here for the draft as well, so we're really looking forward to that. We always know that there's so much excitement around the draft. It's always like that new beginnings, fresh start. So,
absolutely. Yeah, we'll be talking a lot more about the draft as it approaches and that excitement, but of course we'll be right here in Clearwater at Big Storm.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet another edition of the internationally renowned Ira Kaufman Podcast, starting none other than the custodian of Canton, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the prince of Pasco County. He is, you know him, you love him, Uncle Ira. It's Ira Kaufman. And we're sitting here in the room at One Buck Palace. It's where the Bruce Arians show is telecast and broadcast. And behind us, we see, what, about 38, maybe 50 Kangol hats. And for a background, but
Lee, I just tweet a picture, and I don't tweet a lot of photos.
Brunette or blonde?
I went into the interview room, and I saw all the chairs and an empty podium with the Buck backdrop. Took out my trusty camera, took a picture, sent it on Twitter, and said another Buck season has come to conclusion. That's sad because they're not going to be playing in January, and you got teams like Buffalo and Tennessee that I think the Bucks have similar talent to, if not more. And their season's still alive. I believe Arians kind of backed up his performance at the podium that he did post-game in terms of being as blunt as you can be and as blunt as a member of the media can ask for. And the one thing that strikes me now about all the questions about Jameis Winston, and there must have been about a dozen, and he knew there would be, you know, we're not going to ask about Carl Nassib before we ask about Jameis Winston or Peyton Barber as a UFA. And what struck me, Lee, and he started talking about it a little bit on Sunday night, is sort of his answer now is, who else is out there? Now,
door number two, he called it.
Yeah, door number two. It's a big door. He talked about free agency, the draft, where they're locked into number 14. So when he says stuff like that, he sends Buck fans into a tizzy.
Yeah.
Because now they're talking about Rivers and Eli Manning and Bridgewater and Andy Dalton and Buck Nation's divided. Now, who's better than Winston? Who's not better? Who's not an upgrade? Now, Lee, along those lines, and I asked Arians this, is it particularly painful? Does it sting even more when you can't come up with a winning record after you lead the league in rushing, you lead the league in passing offense?
Rushing defense, you mean?
Rushing defense, passing offense, very good in the red zone, very good on third downs, both sides of the ball, and you're 7-9. You got the league's leading sacker.
Whoever thought we'd be saying that again.
You got a quarterback who threw for 5,000 yards, and you can't come up with a winning record. There's a lot of reasons, but basically what he said is, we got to stop beating ourselves, and when we don't, when we reach that level, we're going to be tough to beat. Now, Buck fans are tired of hearing that from other coaches, a litany of all these other coaches. Cutter said similar things, Lovey.
Dungy.
Dungy, Schiano, not so much Gruden.
Well, when I say Dungy, I'm talking about the last couple of years.
You know
when they brought him in.
Lee, they outgained their opponents by 500 yards or more. They did a lot of things right. Now, look, I'm about to vote for the AP All-Pro team, which is the big All-Pro team, you know, and it's the one that picks the league MVP. Lee, I'm looking at the Buck roster, and I was in the, you know, the locker room like you were, and I'm looking around, and I'm saying to myself, geez, they got three or four viable candidates for All-Pro honors, and this is a lot more prestigious than the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
This is like there's two receivers, there's two running backs, there's five offensive linemen. That's it on this team.
It has clout.
It's got clout, baby, and you're looking at Barrett.
Yeah.
You know, and how could he not be one of the outside linebackers? I mean, I don't care who's voting for this thing.
Godwin?
And you're looking at Godwin. Of course, Michael Thomas is penciled in as the first receiver and has to be.
Evans?
And in all due respect, well, you can't have Godwin and Evans.
Well, I'm saying they're candidates, yeah.
And then there's the eternal Lavonne David question.
Yeah.
Kuechly did not have one of his great years. His team was worse than the Bucs, so you can't argue, well, Lavonne's hurt by being on a bad team. Well, the Panthers stunk. They finished 5-11. They didn't show up the last month of the season.
No.
They did not show up.
They mailed it in.
They mailed it in. Now, Bobby Wagner always gets his support from inside linebacker. And then, you know, I can't help thinking, Lee, you may not want to hear this with your background on this subject, but if Devin White didn't get hurt in September, I think he'd be a candidate for a Rookie Defensive Player of the Year. You got Bosa, you know, but Bosa leveled off and White came on. So I think he'd at least be under consideration.
Yeah, he was on a trajectory after about five games, and then he got sick or hurt.
You know, I pulled the DeKemper yesterday. I didn't tell you this, but I pulled the DeKemper. And that meant that
draft or Cam?
No, that after Devin White had done his interviews, and I think probably after you had come in there, because you like to swoop in at the end. And now, you know, I had heard Arians, and now I come back, and I wasn't in for Winston. And there's White sitting there. And, you know, he's getting ready to leave. And I swoop in and I said, you know, it probably took you a couple of weeks after you came back from that injury before you felt 100%. He goes, well, it wasn't so much feeling 100% after I came back, but it was wearing that damn brace.
Oh.
He was wearing a damn brace. I said, how long did it take you? He said, 3 weeks to get rid of it. It was a big barrier.
Wow.
To play with a brace. He's not used to that. So once he took that off, he took off.
Mm-hmm.
He took it off, and he took off. There's your analogy for today. But Arians, you know, look, for guys like you and I, what a breath of fresh air.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You know, and Cutter was pretty good when he was coordinator. Once he got that head job, like most guys, Pablum Central, for the most part.
To me, the ultimate worst was Lovey. It was terrible.
He was terrible.
I quit going to his press conferences because I got tired of hearing simple as that. He couldn't stand Lovey.
Now, I did ask Arians about how unequivocal he's been about bringing Shaq Barrett back. Are we supposed to assume from that you're going to franchise the man? He didn't necessarily say that's a valid assumption. He just said, we got to get him under contract. Mm-hmm. I should have told him right then and there that I saw Rosenhaus, that big smile on his face. But look, Arians is not naive. This is not his first rodeo. He knows that Barrett wants to be paid. And if the Bucks want to retain him, Lee, they're going to have to pay. Simple as that. That's exactly the line.
That's Lovey y'all.
And it fits what I just said. They're going to have to pay him. Simple as that.
Now, what did you find in it? I mean, did you find interesting? Arian said he wants the front seven back.
I did.
That's not going to be cheap.
And he said there's three big decisions. And, of course, he's not counting Nassim because, well, you know, when you're talking about Barrett, JPP, and Sue, you know, Nassim's number four on that list. And there's a big gap between number three and four. Lee, he knows what we know, and that is if you dismantle the front and you keep Barrett, his production's going to go down markedly. He knows that, just like we all know that. Mm-hmm. So it's not just keeping Barrett, it's keeping Barrett. And I heard a soundbite from JPP. You might have been around him yesterday. I saw a soundbite where JPP was talking about the possibility of coming back to Tampa, and he said, it's always nice to know you got that second guy. Obviously, he was talking about Barrett.
Yeah.
As a complimentary pass rusher. And that's something that JPP is going to be looking at when other suitors come after him. If the Bucks let him test free agency, which I don't think they will. But if they do, one of the decisions JPP is going to make is, hey, is there another guy on that up front there that can help me like Barrett can? And there's very few Shaq Barretts out there.
No kidding. You were discussing in your previous podcast that, you know, Rosenhaus, you mentioned something about Shaq Barrett getting
a
free agency.
What a smile.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm starting to think the stars are aligning. And I know, well, whatever the hell I say, people get bent out of shape and mad, run their cars off the road, throw rocks at cars. I am very unpopular. Here's the three most unpopular people in the Tampa Bay area. Ira, you pick which one's one, two, and three. But I'm in the top three. The three most unpopular people in the Tampa Bay area are me, Jameis Winston, and Jason Light.
And you're going to do it in that order? You're going to put yourself at the top?
I told Trevor one time at the Rams game when the Bucks were playing in Los Angeles at the Coliseum. I told Trevor, I'm the second most hated man in Tampa Bay. He said, who's first? I said, Jason Light. Well, now Jameis, I think, is. So depending what day it is and who's talking, it's either me, it's either Jason Light, or it's Jameis Winston.
Now, Lee, you read the comments on Joe Bucks Fan, and we're lucky enough to get a lot of them. It's apparent to you and I. The Winston skeptics are out in force.
Oh.
And I didn't say haters. I said skeptics.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's not personal to most of these people. It's not personal.
I think to many, it's not personal. Yeah.
So, but Lee, there's a danger in reading too much into the comments, even on a site like Joe Bucks Fan, because you and I both know if people are happy with the status quo or they like your story, they're less inclined to comment than if they take a different, divergent view. Those are the people that do comment.
Oh, that's
so
absolutely correct.
You got to take it in that context.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Ira. That's dead on. That's just nature. It's human nature. If you're content, you're not going to complain.
And you learn that the hard way with reading the comments, you know.
But yeah, that's just human nature with anything. But you're absolutely correct.
The Winston defenders are being drowned out right now. They are absolutely being
drowned out. That's the best way to put it out. That's the best way to put it out. In vernacular of the internet age, the Winston supporters are being flamed. Whenever they try to point out something,
I hadn't heard that expression. You get flamed.
Now,
the people that want to point out the 5,000 yards and they're averaging 28, 29 points, I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, so, and they get shut down on the internet.
Shut down quickly.
Now, what I was going to point out earlier with Rosenhaus, and people are not going to like what I'm going to say. They never do when it comes to GMs. Oh, well. With Rosenhaus, I hinted at this before, that it might be smarter financially to franchise Shaq Barrett and to sign Jameis. Well, Mark Dominic went on Twitter right after the Bucks game. It was borderline inflammatory, but I got his point. And it's unrealistic as hell, but I get his intention. He said, Jameis, I'll bring you back, but you're not getting one red cent more than I paid you last year. if the Bucks come up, if Light comes up to Jameis's party and they say, okay, we want to bring you back at $21 million, they're going to say, see ya.
It sounds good, but it's not realistic.
It's not realistic. That's not going to happen. And, you know, they'll call his bluff. So what I'm thinking is the Bucks have leverage on Jameis. I'm going to add, and there's another leverage question I got for you after this. Not a whole lot, but they have leverage because, like, Jameis, you just ended your season with a pick six. You know, they can go on and on about the picks. We love you, but the picks. And they'll be like a fan, the picks. Even though there's other positives in my eyes that overwhelm the negative, even though they're severe. They got leverage on Jameis. Not leverage that they could say 21, take it or leave it. No, that ain't going to happen. But they got leverage on him. I still think it'll be cheaper to sign Jameis to a loaded contract, loaded in the sense, all kinds of clauses. You know, if you do this, if you reach this goal, you get so much. You get this, you do so much. You have, and have it loaded like a 2-year option with a third team option, whatever. Franchise Shaq, sign Jameis. I think the Bucks are in a better position to do that now after yesterday's debacle than they were 48 hours ago.
You know what one of those damn incentives should be? Make the freaking playoffs. If the team makes the playoffs, fans aren't going to care how many picks he throws. They're not going to care.
You know, you're right. That's a good point. And by the way, fans, the lit torch crowd, they are so bent out of shape at me because I've made this point, and they said, you're making an excuse. I don't think – a fact is not an excuse. The kicker makes one kick, one, uno, of the three you missed, uno. That pick never happens. The Bucks win the game. There's no overtime. How is that an excuse? I mean, I don't get that. That's not an excuse. That's an absolute fact. Yes, Jameis blew the game. Yes, he threw a pick six. It should never have come to that. That game should never have been in overtime. Hit one of three kicks.
That's not asking for too much.
No, it's not like
one,
he was kicking 60-yard field goals.
One was a chippy.
And I hear Arians talk about, well, all kickers have trouble in that end zone of the Den of Depression. Well, Atlanta's kicker didn't have any problems.
Well, I don't know if you saw my column, but when I talked about that situation and what Arians said, I said, well, I hope Arians also has a discussion with Matt Gay that you better fix that because we intend to play our home games at Raymond James Stadium.
That's a great
John McKay line. Now, Lee, I want to talk about
that. That's a great John McKay line.
Our listeners of this podcast, which started in the summer of 2016, a few months after I got unceremoniously fired from a defunct newspaper and not picked up by the next newspaper.
You weren't fired. The paper was fired.
The paper was fired. The listeners have heard me talk about this for 3.5 years. They're tired of it. But I got fresh proof.
Uh-oh.
And Arians talks about it all the time, just like all the coaches. Why do coaches always say it's the turnovers? Why? And the fans are saying, well, there's so many analytics. You could talk about this and you could talk about that. But it always comes back to the same thing. I got fresh proof. Are you ready, Mr. DeCamp?
I know you always.
I'm glad you're sitting down. Here we go. I'm not making this up. I got the fresh stats.
I see your stack of papers in front of you.
I got the fresh stats from the Buck PR department. They were nice enough to send it down. These are season-ending stats.
Well, you got clout. No wonder they pull that out for you.
Lee, these numbers are not going to change.
No.
The hay's in the barn. It says at the top, through Sunday, December 20. You know what that means? Regular season's over. It's not going to change. And here's what I come up with. The 10 teams at the bottom, and the Bucks are like 5 from the bottom. The 10 teams from the bottom in turnover ratio, 0 playoff berths.
Hmm.
The 11 teams at the top, because 2 teams were tied. The 11 teams at the top, 10 playoff teams, 1 outlier. The outlier, Mike Tomlin's Pittsburgh Steelers, who had no offense this year, but they did well on the turnover ratio. 0 at the bottom, 1 at the top. It's the same thing every year, Lee. The numbers never change. You might have 1 out of the top 10, out of the bottom 10 that make the playoffs. You're never going to have 4 or 5. Never.
Does it have anywhere near
about? You're giving away possessions.
Well, I'm not saying that's good.
And it catches up. And I'm not saying this is all on Winston.
Yeah, now,
the Bucks don't take the ball away enough.
There's also another factor. That's true. In that stack of papers you have there, what's that, about a 60-sheet packet you got there?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it say anything about what records are when the offense scores more points than the other team?
I believe unbeaten.
Or close to it.
Unbeaten.
But you know what exacerbates, there you like that word,
ooh,
what
nice.
Exacerbates the turnovers.
Simple as that, DeKemper. Simple as that.
What exacerbates the turnovers The Bucks led the league in penalties.
Yes.
Bucks beating Bucks.
Led the league. 32 teams led the league.
That didn't help.
No, absolutely not.
Now this is going to, and I'll get fans mad at me again. I don't care. No matter what I say,
and you can't pin most of that on number three. You cannot. You cannot. There were false starts.
There were false stuff. I was thought you were talking about turnovers.
Just a quick reminder to remember our presenting sponsor, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for 60 years. BillCurryFord.com is where you want to start shopping for the best value on cars, trucks, SUVs in the Tampa Bay area and the biggest inventory as well, BillCurryFord.com.
Here's something. I had a discussion with Light back when they fired Lovie. You know, Lovie was turnovers. He was obsessed, more than you. He didn't care that his defense got drugged down the field time after time, so long as they got a turnover, whether it be on Ted Yarnlight. And I remember telling Jason Light, Jason, a punt's a turnover too. Now, let's say hypothetically the Bucks get rid of Jameis, and people scream turnovers. They bring in a quarterback.
Let's say they bring in Andy Dalton.
First of all, lay money, he doesn't throw for 5,000 yards. That's number one.
That's absolutely right.
And I think it's a fair assumption to suggest he won't have 33 touchdowns.
Probably true, too.
Would it also be fair to say there were probably more three and outs with Andy Dalton over Jameis? Now, I'm not saying the Bucks didn't have three and outs with Jameis.
I would say that's likely.
So how much, you see where I'm getting at?
Yeah.
It sort of dovetails with time of possession. If you're cutting down on the turnovers, but you're cutting down offensive turnovers, but yet you're creating more three and outs, meaning you're giving up the ball more. Does that sort of even out? That's where I'm getting at, the production. Now, if Jameis was throwing for 3,000 yards, then that's inexcusable.
You know, here's a bigger point too, Lee, in terms of the free agent acquisitions. Most of these guys have seen their best days. Certainly Rivers, Eli Manning, whoever else you want to, E. Dalton. Their best days are behind them.
You think Dalton's best days are behind
them? I think so. Maybe not Bridgewater, but I don't think the Saints are in a rush to get rid of Teddy Bridgewater. We'll see.
Oh, I don't think they should be either.
And they shouldn't be. As we saw with Brady this year, when a 40-year-old goes, he goes sharply. Mm-hmm. And Brady went sharply. And the same thing could happen to Breeze. It could.
And by the way, those two quarterbacks you just mentioned are also free agents.
Yes, absolutely.
I think Arians could squeeze a year out of Brady.
So here's my point, Lee. You know, don't you have to build for the long term, that you want to be good over a long period of time?
Blazers do.
And if so, Rivers comes in and somehow stumbles to 9-7 or 10-6. I mean, that's not impossible if the young players continue to develop. Where are you going from there? I mean, with Philip Rivers. You're still going to need a quarterback.
I know what you're saying, specifically a backup, and we'll get to that. Arians talked about backups today. Very interesting words.
But how many years do these guys have left?
Well, I think the Bucks are in a little different situation. What you say, I fully agree with. And I think the Glazers fully agree with. And I think that's why they were so smitten with Jameis initially.
You built for long-term success.
Because it looked like a 12-15-year era with Jameis leading the Bucks. Now that's in peril. But I think we all realize within the next couple of years, Arians is going to be gone. You know, even though Arians proclaimed he's healthy and his wife's keeping him healthy and he wishes he was practicing next week. Say he'd give $100,000 to be practicing next week. Can't we get some practices together, Ira?
I'll catch dinner. I'll catch a few balls.
Yeah, I'll buy you dinner.
All he's got to do is go to Arby's with me. And I don't ask for much.
But I think it's realistic to believe 2 to 3 years from now, the Bucks will be having a coaching change. And I think at that time, they'll hit the reset button. Jameis or no, now if Jameis goes crazy, if they bring him back, and Jameis goes crazy, then they don't need another quarterback. But I think as we sit right here today, I don't think it's far-fetched to believe there's going to be a reset button hit when Arians does call it a night.
I still like the idea of a franchise tag and drafting a quarterback. I still like
you're
it.
On, you're taking Sean Sullivan's advice. You're going round three.
Well, it doesn't have to be from, but it's got to be somebody that Arians thinks he can develop. Mm-hmm. And having done that, if Winston's 1-4 in early October, you're out.
Well,
you're out of a job.
Here's what was very interesting, Arians said.
You ain't getting 16 games next year no matter what. That ain't happening.
He's done next year, yeah, if he doesn't improve the picks. It's hard to improve in 5,000 yards and 33 touchdowns. Arians was asked a very similar situation like the Titans. Like, you know, they basically give Mariota, and, what do they call it? Not a memorandum. They call it a referendum.
Yeah, referendum, but they upgraded in terms of backup.
Well, that's what I mean. They gave him so many games, and they had upgraded the backup with Tannehill, and they're like, you don't get it done, we're yanking you. And they yanked him because he was absolutely unproductive.
And they saved their season in the process.
In the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs.
Yeah. And Arians asked, you know, why didn't you do that this year? Well, first off, I think we all know that he was going to give Jameis the full season. But he admitted, he said that option was not available when Gabbert went down. Whoa!
See, now, that's where I think he's stubborn, but of course he's the quarterback whisperer, and I'm just a whisperer on a podcast. He loves himself some Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, he does.
To me, Gabbert hasn't done much in this league. The funny part is I don't think Arians was with Gabbert very long in Arizona. I think it might have been a half of one season.
I would suggest Gabbert's done a lot and none of it you want.
He flamed out in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, he did. With Dirk Cutter, by the way.
First round pick, right? First round
pick. By the way, I'll never forget when he was picked first round, Sean King went bananas.
Sean Sullivan or Sean King?
Sean King.
All right.
You know, the former Bucs quarterback, one of only three quarterbacks to get to the Bucs in the NFC Championship
game. You love that.
That riles people up so badly, yeah. But it's true. And he went bananas on Twitter for weeks. Because I cannot believe some teams are stupid. He was, and long before the draft, he was like, this guy, you know, people are putting him in the first round. He goes, there's no way this guy's a first round pick. And, you know, say what you will about Sean King, he's played quarterback at a higher level than most of us have ever done and will ever do. And so when he talks about quarterbacks, I kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. He was absolutely right.
Now, Lee, what's the missing link in this Winston evaluation? Certainly, Arians.
You know what I call the missing link, right? It's the wrestler.
The wrestler, yeah. Look, we know who Arians is going to talk to. He's going to talk to his coach. He's going to talk to Leftwich. He's going to talk to Christensen. He's going to talk to Light.
Tom Moore.
And he's also going to maybe invite somebody into his office by the name of Glazer. Perhaps. And I don't think it's going to be a phone conversation.
Now, wait a minute. Are you suggesting Arians has such power in this building that he can summon a Glazer to his office?
Well, when he says the subject's Jameis Winston, I think that's a priority. The question is, when's that conversation going to happen? It's going to happen when the Glazers want it to happen. And I don't think this is something you do over the phone. No, it could be in the Glazers' office.
Okay.
And Light will be present. There'll be sponge cake, you know.
There'll be sponge cake.
Maybe a beet salad. But the Glazers are going to have a big, big say in this.
Oh, thing. I would think so.
Now, look, Arians has clout, for your word, because he's the guy that they chose to get Winston over the hump. But when you asked me directly, as Bits did last week, is Winston a better quarterback in year five than he was in year three? I didn't know the answer. I mean, I was stumped.
Yeah, it is a stumping question. I would say yes and no.
And that's disturbing.
I would say yes and no. Is he a better passer? Yeah. Is he better at throwing picks? Sure is.
Disturbing. So.
I can't go there when there's a guy in the Hall of Fame who had 32 picks.
I understand. But it's the first time 30's been done since Vincenzo's Testaverde. And that's three decades ago. That's a long time, Lee. Nobody had thrown 30 picks.
What year was that?
1988. Okay. And it was Vinny's second year now. This is his fifth.
And he did really well with the whole Parcells.
And I dare say this team's better than the 1988 Bucks. 1988 Bucks.
Oh,
Ray Perkins said. They had Mark Carrier, who was a pretty decent receiver. They didn't have a Godwin or an Evans, I can tell you that.
Hugh Green on that team?
Now, what Hugh Green, no, I believe he was dumped in the mid-80s.
Okay.
What did Arian say about O.J. Howard? I'm not even sure what the heck he said other than he blocked pretty well against the Falcons.
That got fans fired up on social media.
He's got zero targets, right?
He had zero targets, but he said that he had his best day of blocking.
You know what that meant? He was decent in blocking because I don't think he's had a very good year blocking.
No. Nothing I saw jumped out. You know, if a guy has a good day of blocking, he'll have one or two that jumps out at you like, whoa, okay.
Are you believing in this theory that Arians doesn't like to use tight ends in his offense?
I can't say that because when he was at Pittsburgh, he used Heath Miller. I saw it with my own eyes. Now, what we don't know, and this gets interesting, what we don't know if it was a Dirk Cutter situation. What I mean by that is when Dirk Cutter was Lovie's offensive coordinator, he was told by Lovey, you will run the ball.
And they ran it very well.
Yeah, they basically say, you will run the ball and you will find it. You know, it's one thing to run the ball. Any team can run the ball. Can you run it effectively? That's a different animal. So Cutter knew, first year here, and he wanted to work with Jameis. Cutter did. He was like, well, I want to stick around. I better figure out how to get a running game. And he had a running game. That's been the last time the Bucs have had a running game. So I don't know if when Arians was in Pittsburgh that Mike Tomlin and the powers that be above their pay grade, you know, Rooney's, by the way, if they ordered Arians, you will use this tight end. I don't know that. But I saw in Pittsburgh, you know, they won a Super Bowl here in Tampa Bay. I saw them use Heath Miller, not just in that game, but that 2 or 3 year period when Arians was there. What I can say is Cam Brate told me that this offense we're speaking about, the Bucs offense, 2019, offense ran through the receivers, not the tight ends.
And justifiably so. We asked Arians in that 15 to 20 minute session about the secondary going forward into the offseason. Tell me if I'm wrong, but the implication to me was basically, I think we're okay. I think we're okay. He talked about an injured safety that could have won a starting safety. He mentioned Justin Evans as a wild card. That's what he has to be viewed at. He's gravy. He's gravy. They're not going to count on him.
You can't count on him.
They're not going to count on him. What he did not say, and we didn't just ask about safeties. We said about the secondary. What he did not say was adding a veteran cornerback.
No.
He never mentioned it.
No.
So maybe we're anticipating something that's not necessarily in the mind of Bruce Arians.
I'm thinking they're going to draft this Depot, the wide receiver. I might be butchering the name, so I apologize. The safety for LSU, who has had a subpar season because he's been dinged up, but he's sort of like the honey badger type, who also went to LSU. I would bet money on it. If I had to bet right now who the Bucs are going to draft in the first round at 14, I believe, it would be this Depot, this guy at LSU.
If we had to project, Lee, and this is always fun, and I love these people that do the mock drafts before the draft order set. I mean, that's fantastic. They're all trying to get ahead of themselves. You know, October, mock draft, 5 rounds. They have no idea what the order is.
I fully agree with you, but you know what?
And I know your answer.
There's an audience for it.
It gets numbers.
And I can't do that. I'm like you. I know there's an audience for it. I can't do it. It's got to be rooted in at least strive for accurate, a semblance of accuracy.
A semblance.
You know?
It's hard enough to do it when you got the locked and loaded positions.
Yeah, I just think that's clickbait to me. I can't do that.
What you can do is, these are the top 50 prospects in the draft. That you can do.
Yeah, I don't know why.
You got to stop linking them to teams in October.
You don't even know where they're drafting.
So, Lee, as we sit here, we're about 4 months away from the draft. I'm going to go first. First three draft picks by the Bucs, regardless of player, and I'm talking about keying in on a position. Three picks. One of them is going to drive you crazy. Offensive tackle is going to drive you crazy, but that's one of my top three. I know your answer, DeKemper. I'm not going to jump ahead because I know what you're going to say, and I'll let you say it. I got offensive tackle, and yes, I have a pass rusher because you can't go without pass rusher.
First three?
In the first three.
Okay.
Now, this is a tough one. It could be running back or it could be quarterback. I'm going to say quarterback. I think they're taking a quarterback in the top. What if two is there at 14? What do you do? What do you do? Do you franchise Winston and play Tua and sit Tua behind him? That wouldn't be so terrible.
He's brittle, man.
He's brittle in college, which is a bad sign.
Yeah. Now,
but you love the way he throws that football.
He's excellent. There's no question he's an excellent quarterback. Excellent quarterback. He's accurate. Number one, he's brittle. Number two, even he confessed, he doesn't know if he's going to be the same player because of this hip injury.
Yeah.
That's scary. When a player comes out and says that, I don't know if I'm going to be the same.
Now, I got a torn hip lumbar. Does he have a torn hip lumbar? Or is he going to need a reconstructed hip?
I don't know what he has.
That's intriguing. What if he's sitting there at 14? What if he is? That's a tough one.
Because of his injury history? Boy, I'd be... Now, it never fails. Whenever you mention injuries in college, everybody always comes back with, but Adrian Peterson.
I like the idea that he doesn't have to play in year one. I like that idea.
That's true.
I like that.
That's a good point. That doesn't make him less brittle, but that's true. Yeah, he scares me because he's brittle. And he may not be the same kind of player.
But he throws darts.
He throws darts. Man, now, by the way, over the weekend on social media, he kind of put out a hint that he might come back. You know, he said he put out a hint where it was like a picture of him in an Alabama jersey. And said, be patient or something like that.
Would you take a running back in the first three rounds, Lee? Would
Hell
you?
Yes. I'd take a running back in the first round. This is looking like it's a deep draft for running backs. This Chuba character out of Oklahoma State is a big-time unknown. Unknown to a lot of people, but he's very good. There's only one other running back who's run for 2,000 yards in Oklahoma State history. You might have heard of him.
I think his name's Sanders.
Yeah. It's the only other guy. ETN, I love ETN for now Ohio State. I'm sorry, Buckeyes fans, Clemson. But Ohio State has Dobbins, who's excellent.
A lot of people love Dobbins.
Yeah, he's very, very good. Don't get me wrong. Maybe better than ETN, but ETN like Dobbins, is all he could do everything.
He could be gone by 14. He could be.
Maybe. What I don't want to hear, and I don't think any Bucks fan wants to hear, we've been hearing this out of one Buck for a while now. It's a knock on Ronald Jones, why he doesn't get any carries, and Sunday he's shown that maybe he should be getting more carries. I think every Bucks fan is sick and tired of hearing about a running back doesn't get snaps because he doesn't block. I don't know of any Bucks running back that wants to hear that. Get a freaking running back where you don't give a damn if he blocks or not. He's so good, you can't take him off the field.
I want the analogy. Hey, Sandy Koufax couldn't hit. Okay, I live with it. he's gonna bat 111. Okay, I'm okay with that.
That's beautiful.
Koufax can't hit.
I'll live with that.
He can't hit, I'll live with it. Oh, man, I'm telling you, Lee.
Now the thing that's getting a lot of run on social media is Arians came out and admitted Jameis is nearsighted. And people are going wild on Twitter.
That's a Tom Bassinger question. Give Bassinger his props. I talked about the visor over there. What did he say? He can't read the scoreboard, but he can see Godwin going across the middle. Fans are going crazy about that.
That big old scoreboard he can't see?
Well, maybe it helps him because they can't show the replay. He can't see the replays of the pick sixes. It might be helping him in that regard. All right, now Arians said his health is not an issue.
Yeah.
I think that's
but
big.
The eyesight, think about this. Yeah, a lot of people are trying to connect the dots.
Last time I heard that was when they said Testaverde was colorblind.
Yeah.
People went nuts.
Now, people always see Jameis squinting on the sidelines, irritates. That's nothing new. He's been doing that for a while. And I've seen Jameis wearing glasses before off the field, of course. I think he wears contacts. Now, the visor, I've been told by medical professionals, at least the football visor, the way it's curved, it cannot be a prescription. That prescriptions, they can only bend so many ways. And if I remember correctly, Jameis was asked, I think Jenna Lane asked him this, about his visor, if it's prescription. He said, no, it's a regular vision. So, but people are trying to say, they're connecting the dots, oh, his vision is causing interceptions. Arians put that just right away, said that's not it.
Everybody's looking for a theory about Winston. I mean, everybody. Did you get anything, Lee, out of the locker room? Because I thought a lot of key guys weren't there.
No.
For our session.
Yeah.
Lavonte David wasn't there.
He hasn't been around for a while.
And he's a team spokesman, yeah. Whether he wants to be or not. Godwin, I didn't see.
I heard he was there, but I didn't see him. But someone said they saw Godwin walk out.
I didn't expect Winston. He spoke his piece here. By the way, he's taken a lot of flack about some of the things he said at the podium.
Aaron's been quite harsh and blunt. Blunt is the word you use about Jameis. Jameis said some things that I thought were borderline arrogant. It was almost like he was in a denial. And Steve has written this, and I want your feedback on this. Is the posturing already begun? The contract posturing already begun? Jameis, I could be the best quarterback if I shut down my interceptions. And then Arians saying, well, I don't know if he's coming back, you know.
Well, Leah, here's my answer. To the extent that the Glazers are paying attention to how fans are thinking about Jameis Winston, and by the way, I think that should be a factor. I think it should be. They're trying to sell season tickets for 2020.
But if they win, won't they sell season tickets?
But I'm saying right now, if your fan base doesn't believe in the quarterback that you're going to bring back, that's a problem. That's a problem. And it's out there. And so to that extent, I don't think Winston helped himself at the podium. I think he should have been contrite and say, you know what he should have said? This team can't make the playoffs if I'm throwing 30 interceptions. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
So you're suggesting that the media people with the Bucs should have prepped him better?
Not necessarily, because you can prep him all you want, and he's going to say what he wants to say. He was a little defiant yesterday.
Defiant's a good word.
And, you know, when you end the season with a pick six, you're seventh, you should be anything but defiant. I don't mind him talking himself up, bar none, I'm going to be the best or whatever. I like that confidence. And I'm glad that Arians mentioned his work ethic has never wavered, because it hasn't. And that's why that's my saving grace with Winston. You think a guy that's going to put in all that work and all that time, it's going to eventually pay off. It's kind of shocking that it didn't happen in 2019 with Bruce Arians, mm-hmm. Christensen around him, Leftwich, a former quarterback. And, you know, the guy sets a career mark and throws, what, 12 more than anybody else or something like that? I mean, that's a big number, Lee.
What is it? What do you make of this? Now, I haven't looked at the numbers, so I don't know if you know this is accurate or not. This is what Arians claimed. Jameis throws more picks at home.
That is accurate.
What do you make of that? Is that scary that your franchise quarterback throws all these picks at home? You play half your games at home.
I think you could argue that weighs heavily into why they struggle at home. Now, look, this has been going on for, I said, it's 11 straight years.
Yeah, and James Lindgren.
And he's only been here for five. Yeah. So he ain't, you know, the overarching problem. But as far as Winston and home games are concerned, you look at his career stats, home and away, they're considerably better away. Considerable.
That's weird.
That's weird.
Yeah.
What does it mean? Maybe he's amped up too much. Maybe
that's what I think.
Prove himself too much in front of his home fans.
I'm going to say, and he's admitted that, by the way, he wants to prove to the home fans. He said that. And that may be the core problem. I mean this sincerely, that in a positive way, for help. I think if anybody needs a shrink on this team, it's Jameis. I like Jameis. You know that. But I just think that guy needs a shrink. He gets so hyped up. And it shows in his play. He's too hyped up. He's too buzzed in the head. He's not thinking.
Now, I got an email today, Lee, from a fan. Good question. Fair question. Do you think Arians would consider going to a West Coast offense to better suit Winston's style? Interesting. My answer was not Arians' style. Would he change that much about his basic philosophy of offensive football just to suit Jameis Winston? I don't know that he'd do that.
Especially when your quarterback throws for 5,000 yards. You're like, well, you're on to something. It's not like you got a wrong offense. Like the guy emailed you, I've come to the conclusion months ago that probably the best offense for Jameis is a West Coast offense. His numbers, when he gets out of the pocket, are so much better. Right at the end of the half, that was beautiful. The whole drive was beautiful. But that touchdown play, and I said this on your podcast, and just to make sure I wasn't completely out to lunch, I pulled up the Dwight Clark catch last night. I compared those two plays. That's what it reminded me of. James' play might have been better. And what I mean by that is, if you recall, you were there. You're a witness. You're covering it for UPI. San Francisco beating Dallas.
Candlestick Park.
San Francisco had the ball on the 12-yard line. James' play, the ball was like on the 20, 22. So he was farther back. But if you look both of those plays, it was very similar. Jameis rolls to his right. He gets pressure. He's going backwards and throws it to a spot. That's exactly what Montana did.
Now, Perryman made a better catch than Clark did.
I mean, you think so?
I think so because Perryman was surrounded. Clark
had got
to
open.
Leap. He had to leap.
But he had to leap.
He had to leap and make a real good catch. But the ball wasn't contested like the Perryman ball.
Yeah, Perryman literally was contested. He had to pull the thing away from the guy.
And by the way, I went up to Perryman and I meant this really honestly, and I think you're with me. He came to town with a reputation. He's a burner. He's going to stretch the field and do what DeSean Jackson could not do when Jameis Winston was under center. I didn't say DeSean Jackson couldn't do it, period. I said he couldn't do it when number three was under center. Mm-hmm. Those are the facts. And so here comes Perryman. He's going to get past you on these fly patterns. He's going to turn a 12-yard slant and take it to the house. The things that DeSean Jackson's done his whole career. Now, nobody's putting him in that category. He's not going to, you know, DeSean Jackson, when it's all said and done, some people are going to think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think he is, but you know, he's got some numbers. Perryman's not going to have 10,000 career yards. But here's what I said to Perryman. You come with this reputation. You're a one-trick pony. You're very good at that one trick. What did we see the last 5-6 weeks? I said it right in front of him. I said, we saw you tightrope in the sideline. We saw you getting your feet down with the nimble, you know, acrobatics. We saw you making tough catches over the middle on 3rd and 8. We saw that incredible catch at the back of the end zone, you know, with the body control. He showed off a whole different dimension of his game, Lee. And as a result, what's the bad part? The Bucs are going to have trouble keeping him.
Yeah.
But I know Arians wants to keep him. He said that. He goes, we bring those three guys back. Nobody's got better targets. And you know what? I think he's right.
I
think he's right.
For three targets? Then if you factor in if Brate's back or OJ Howard's back, sure. If people think Arians was totally negative about Jameis, remember Arians said he scoffed at those who claimed Jameis couldn't throw a deep ball.
Yes.
And no DeSean Jackson, but here's Perryman.
I agree with you. He's not totally down on Jameis. The last play of the last season.
Alarming.
Leaves a terrible taste.
The last two games. After that Detroit game, I don't think anybody in their right mind said they should get rid of Jameis.
That's right.
But he bottomed out so bad in the last two games where you had to think
now
twice.
He didn't have his receivers. To be fair, he didn't have them.
Now, fans argue that shouldn't, no matter.
It does matter. Mm-hmm. It does matter. But it doesn't wipe away, you know, locking into it. Now, that was the classic pick to Brate. He locked into Brate from the first minute. And what did Arians say? He wasn't open. Well, you lock into a guy. If he's covered, you don't throw the ball, Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just being stubborn.
I have yet to anybody confirm what Jameis said. The ball was tipped.
I don't have any confirmation on that either.
Yeah. At that position, you don't throw a ball that can be tipped.
You know what the best pass Jameis Winston throws? That seam pass. You've said it, and it's true. That deep seam pass, mm-hmm. He's very good at it. What he's not good is the short slant, that little 9-yard slant. The linebackers are dropping back into coverage. He's not good at the sideline pass. The 49ers, remember, first mm-hmm. game, that's what they picked. The Texans game, that's what they picked. Now, the guy didn't run a good route, but there wasn't a lot of mustard on that
no,
ball either.
No, you know, and the guy can throw a 95 mile an hour, so it's not like he can't
yes,
throw that.
Yes.
What's it going to take for Leftwich to quit calling that play?
Absolutely. Burn your playbook, my friend. Cut down on that playbook.
Okay, we got to go our route.
Lee, one more thing I want to say. Talking about the locker room, I talked about who didn't show up, but you know who was in there? And I just kept watching him, and he just kept staying in his locker. It was like he didn't want to
leave. Ryan Smith?
DeMar Dotson.
Yeah.
DeMar Dotson.
He didn't want to leave.
He was soaking it all in.
You're right.
He really doesn't know where he stands. Neither do we. Mm-hmm. I would bring him back even as a swing backup tackle at a reduced salary. Mm-hmm. Now, if he wants to go somewhere else and get paid as a starter, I say bless you.
Mm-hmm.
I say bless you. But I'm not going to give him the same money. But he didn't want to leave, Lee.
You're right.
It was kind of a sentimental picture.
It was kind of sad. He didn't. You hit the nail on the head. He didn't want to leave. He just stood there and sat there and looked around. And most of these guys, they're packing up their stuff and getting heck out of Dodge.
He's the guy that endured all the losing.
Yeah. Right?
Got here in 2009, I believe, mm-hmm. longest tenured Buck. That was the year with Raheem's first season. Chucky mm-hmm. was gone. Boy, that's a lot of losses, Lee.
Yeah.
I think you'd share my respect for Dotson.
Sure. He's a good guy.
He's been fantastic mm-hmm. to the media all these years. And he's almost always the first guy after a loss that we go to because he's going to put it in perspective.
Yeah, that and he's willing to talk. Most guys don't want to talk.
I wish him the best of luck.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I never thought of that, but you're right. That makes me sad the way he was milling about his locker room. He didn't want to leave. That's a great point. Ira, what should Bruce Arians, he's having exit interviews. What do you want to see Bruce Arians do during these exit interviews? What kind of knowledge do you want him to gather from these exit interviews as we exit this podcast?
It's not the worst thing in the world if he instead of telling guys, if he's listening a little bit too. Listen a little bit. Sometimes somebody could surprise you. Sometimes Levante David, who's been through the wars, got here in 2012, went through a lot of losing. He might have some suggestions for Arians and Todd Bowles. You know, I'm not going to listen to Jamel Dean as much as I love Jamel Dean. I think he's going to be a heck of a player, Lee. I really like that kid.
But you don't listen to him.
But I'm not going to listen to him. You know, he's green around the gills over there. You know, earn your stripes. But I looked at, on the board, on the door today of the locker room. I don't know if you saw it. But there were two sheets of paper on one side of the door. And it was a list of every player that's going in to see Bruce Arians on Monday and Tuesday. They each get 10 minutes.
Mm.
They're each assigned 10 minutes. Winston gets the same amount as Kevin Minter. 10 minutes. You know, and so Arians, look, you and I both know it. Arians is going to do most of the talking. You know, and Winston shouldn't do most of the talking. He should do the listening. But I think Arians will be very blunt, and I think he's going to tell each guy what they should be working on. Look, this is not going to be the same team in 2020. It never is. You churn the bottom of the roster. That's what you do. But, Lee, I'm going to leave you with this. It's a good one.
And your listeners.
Assuming, and it's an assumption, JPP and Barrett come back. I didn't say anything about Sue, and I didn't say anything about NASA or Golston. If JPP and Barrett are bound and signed for 2020, would you still draft the pass rusher in the first round?
Yes.
If you like the guy?
Yeah.
Good answer, Lee. You never waver. Good answer.